Greetings, beloved ones. Well, here we are again. We had to close the church because even though it wasn't snowing, most of the parking spaces are non-existent and it's just filled with ice. So we decided once again, we'll just do our service here in my wonderful home. And I want to take this time to thank beloved Tracy because she comes to my house and we have a whole setup here with cameras, lights, everything that we need. And thank God she was able to get through and also my area was clear. So the Spirit said, yes, we're still going to have service. So thank you, Tracy. And I'm so glad that all of you, I pray, are home, safe, sound, warm, cozy, cuddly with something good. But this is your hour of transformation and discovery. This is your time, truly, to relax and let go and be open for the service this morning. You know, I was thinking, can you believe that we are in the second month of this new year? And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, that was fast. We're already in it. It feels like time is marching on and it's up to us to try to keep up with time. So I'm wondering, are you keeping up? Are you able to manage to move through all of the changes? Because truly, friends, it feels like time is speeding up. There's so much going on, distraction after distraction. They'll have one thing that's posted and then there'll be another distraction. They'll release some e-files and then somebody will get arrested and then they'll arrest or kidnap someone or there have been some killings. On and on and on it seems to go. And it's hard to kind of keep up with everything and it can feel very overwhelming and shocking to the system, even exhausting. You know, it's really, truly a challenging time for us. And in my prayer time, I've been seeking some ways, asking Spirit for some ways to help keep myself grounded. I want to be grounded and help to keep myself encouraged, you know, so that I have that energy to keep moving. Even though I don't want to inundate myself with all of the news. I look at only independent news companies at this point. I don't watch the TV news. But even with that, it's still so much going on. But yet, I have to still remain, I have a commitment to be alert, to still remain alert, aware of what is taking place. Because you can't turn a blind eye. You know, you can't really just shut your senses down and stick your head in the sand like nothing is happening. And so we've got to find a way to keep ourselves open and receptive and at the same time divinely protected, energized to continue to move forward, but also how to handle everything that is coming at us. We have to find a way to endure and to move through it all, to endure and to move through it all. We've got to find a way, as Jesus, the master teacher, elder brother, and way shower said. He said, be ye in the world, but not of it. And that's tricky. How can we be in the world, but not of it? Because that's going to take some spiritual grit and some focus in order to do that. That's going to require that we become deeply rooted and grounded in the truth that will keep us free, not only set us free, but keep us free. And so we're wondering how we can work with this so we're not upended by all of the craziness and the changes and the speed at which these changes are taking place. Because trying to keep up with everything can be exhausting, very much exhausting. But you know what? That's the purpose. In this particular administration, is doing all of these things, one after the other, for the purpose of keeping us off balance, keeping a sense of, or having a sense of exhaustion, because we're trying to take in this tragedy here, and then another thing happens, and another thing happens, and another thing every day. But that's the purpose. I read somewhere that they said, well, it's what that in order for them to be able to take charge is that they have to flood the zone. That is, every day, every moment, keep flooding some kind of tragedy. So we're looking over here, we're looking over here, and we're, oh my gosh, oh my God. But that's the purpose, to keep us ungrounded, unrooted, off balance, so that hopefully, in their mind's eye, we might be tired enough, exhausted enough, that we won't care, that we won't be on our P's and Q's to be able to move forward with all of these changes, that maybe we'll even give up or give in or just not even surrender, but just let go and let it happen. Whatever happens is going to happen. And so that we won't have this ability to stand up or to speak up or to carry on. And that's what's required right now, to stand up, speak up, and to carry on, because we cannot be lulled into a state of unconsciousness. We have to still remain aware, awake, alert, and enthusiastic about life, and not feeling hopeless or depleted or defeated in any way. And this is a challenge that we might find ourselves in, but we can do it, because you know what? God is always on the throne and active. I spoke about a new energy, an energy that is being ushered in with this new year. And I said that it was the Chinese New Year of the Fire Horse. And according to that tradition by them, the energy of the Fire Horse is one that brings swiftness. Think about fire, passion. You know, it's on fire, but it's quick and it moves. Decisiveness, determination, transformation, freedom to move. Think of a horse running and movement, right? So this is the energy that, among other qualities of being, but this is the energy that is upon us now for this particular year. And what the Fire Horse year says is you better be ready, because life, energy, situation, circumstances is moving and deep transformation is happening. I mentioned last time, I think, that the Fire Horse comes around every 60 years. But when it does, it usually brings some great transformation, a big change in life, in the patterns of life, or how we're used to doing things. So everything morphs and it changes on a deep, deep, deep level. And so this is asking us to be ready for this new pattern of life, because life and all of its changes and all of its challenges is going to move fast, as we can see already that it has started off moving fast. And so we're trying to keep up with the changes and the challenges. But when things move fast, doesn't mean that we should just give in or give up, or that we can't keep up. There's a saying that says, the race is not always won by he who is the swiftest, but by he who can endure to the end. I love that. The race is not always won by he or she who is the swiftest, but by he or she who endures to the end. That's powerful. There's a scripture, a couple of scriptures that I love. It's a combination of this particular phrase. It's a combination of the scripture from Ecclesiastes 9:11 and Matthew 24:13. Now, Ecclesiastes says this: the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, or wealth to the brilliant, or favor to the learned, but time and chance happens to them all. It's not always, right? The swift or the strongest in battle or whatever, but time and chance happens to them all. And Matthew 24, verse 13 says, but the one who endures to the end will be saved, from the New Living Translation. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. And I knew that phrase, you know, by heart, but Spirit said, go read the portion of the scripture that led up to that last sentence that you are familiar with, but read it. So I decided to do that. And I thought, let me read from Matthew 24, verses 1 through 13. And it says, as Jesus left the temple and was walking away, his disciples came up to him to point out its buildings. Do you see all these things? He replied. Truly, I tell you, not one stone here will be left on another. Everyone will be thrown down. While Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. Tell us, they said, when will these things happen? And what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? Now, an age means usually 2,000 years, but we're going to look at this symbolically, right? What's going to happen, and how will we know of your coming and the end of an age, the end of a happening, the end of a, like we're in the, you know, there's the information age, the stone age, the bronze age, the industrial age. It's the ending of a way of life and the beginning of a new one. And we're at the precipice at the end of an age, right? We're moving into this whole digital AI, you know, age of information coming from robotics and computers. Very interesting time. And Jesus answered them and he said, see to it that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name claiming I am the Christ and will deceive many. And when I read that one, I thought, well, there are some people of Christian faith and nationality, national Christians, whatever you want to call them, who are coming, claiming that they are working and living and being and expressing in the name of the Christ, but they are deceiving many because they're not following the true teachings. So he says, see to it that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name. And metaphysically, one's name means one's nature, right? So they'll come in my nature claiming I am the Christ and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. You know, all of these things take place in our innermost being. When we look at things metaphysically and we try to understand the scriptures from that deeper meaning, it's what's taking place in our being and ourselves, but also in our world in a metaphorical and spiritual fashion. So he says, you will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. These things must happen, but the end is still to come. And again, he's not talking, I do not believe, about the end of the world, but the end of an age, the end of a vibration, an energy that's been on the planet. And we certainly are one right now of destructiveness and negativity. But even that will end. Everything will come to an end. So he says, nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pangs. So all this stuff that's taking place in the outer world is also taking place perhaps within ourselves. You know, our world is being upended and we're having, you know, challenges and warring with ourselves. But all of these, he says, are birth pains, signs of birth pains, because we're getting ready to birth a new vibration on this planet. But a lot of things have to break up and break apart and disseminate and disintegrate so that the new can come through. And then he says, then they will deliver you over to be persecuted and killed, and you'll be hated by all nations because of my name. At that time, many will fall away and will betray and hate one another. and many false prophets will arise and deceive many. Now, I don't know about you, but I see a couple of false prophets right out that have arisen, and many people are following almost in a cult-like fashion. But that's okay. That has to happen. And then it says, because of the multiplication of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. And I see that happening. Some of these very Christians are lacking empathy or fail to say that we should feed the hungry or be kind or whatever. They think those attributes that Jesus displayed were for the weak and the woke. Really? But the multiplication of wickedness, because of the multiplication of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. And we see that. But, this is my favorite part, but the one who perseveres to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come. And the kingdom, it says here, the gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world. And what will be preached? What is the kingdom? We're talking about every person's individual state or consciousness. Jesus said that the kingdom of God was within you. It's within you. This is the great transformation that is trying to give birth to itself. That somehow or another we're going to release and shed all of the limitation and the negativity, the wickedness, right? And we will begin to take hold once again of the truth that will set us free. Love, compassion, peace, joy, harmony, abundance, health, wealth for everybody. That's what's taking place. But it says here, but the one who perseveres, all of this stuff that's taking place, we have to persevere. And if you persevere to the end, you will be saved. To the end of whatever. The end of your circumstance, the end of your situation, the end of what's happening. Now, this time period right now will end. Our call is to persevere, to endure, and to persevere in the end. So I think coupled with Ecclesiastes 9:11, we can see that the race is not always won by the swiftest, but by he who can endure to the end. You know, horses not only have swiftness and power, but they have enduring power, right? The times that we are living in right now are calling for not only one who can be swift, but someone who can endure, who has staying power, who has the stamina to outlast all of this craziness. Friends, we have the internal power to endure. We have staying power. We can stay in the truth, right? We have to work at it, but that's our ability. Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. So we've got to keep our mind, our consciousness stayed on the truth, stayed on the presence and power of God. And we have to continue to endure, to persevere. And all of that does is it builds up our stamina. It builds up our energy. So sometimes like a horse, that power, when that horse gets going, it doesn't tire itself out in 5 minutes. It, as it goes on, it builds more endurance, more power, more ability. So these two scriptures are for us, telling us to keep on going on, right? Not to give up. And if we don't, we will achieve that which we would desire. We will win the race, whenever that is. And we won't be necessarily overcome because of our lack of stamina and endurance. But he who endures to the end will win the race. Remember the childhood fable of the tortoise and the hare? The tortoise was slow, but that hare thought it was going to go. But no, the race is not always run by the swiftest, but he who endures to the end. So the question that we have to ask ourselves, do I have staying power? Do I have the ability to endure to the end? Because this situation is going to end. Now, what I'm feeling is that life keeps on keeping on. It changes. And even though we might not be here for the total picture of life, it's going to keep on keeping on. Even after we leave the planet, life will keep on keeping on. But even while we are here at this time, in this body, in this situation and circumstance, we have the capacity to keep on keeping on. And why is that? Because we have one of our 12 powers that that when we develop it, it will save us and serve us very well. Now, I wonder if you can guess what that 12th power is. It's the power of strength. We have the power of strength innately built into our system. And it's not a strength that is talking about physical strength, not might, that kind of power, but the strength that says we have the capacity to keep on keeping on. This strength that we have is the power of endurance, to be able to continue to keep on keeping on until we have that ultimate victory. I read a message that said this about Ecclesiastes 9:11. It said that Ecclesiastes 9:11 encourages individuals to continue striving even when they feel weak or when challenges arise, implying that endurance is a key factor in ultimate victory. I know for me that, you know, there have been many times when I was not feeling well or maybe feeling weak or tired or whatever. But my commitment, and remember we spoke about commitment last week, my commitment to serve gives me that strength to keep on keeping on, to endure, to get up and find that inner strength to do whatever is mine to do. And so even when we have those times where we feel like giving up and giving in, tap on and tap in to your divine power of spiritual strength. God has placed that in our hearts and beings. So tap on to that ability so that we can continue to move forward. We can continue to strive ahead, you know, moving through these tough times, moving through challenging times, no matter what. And this is what I'm delighted to experience at this time in my life and what's going on. So we're going to continue to endure. But this endurance is not like putting up with something. I'm not asking anybody to put up with anything. But we are being called to not put up with stuff, but to push through something. Not put up, but push through. Moving beyond what would ordinarily stop us and limit us, you know, stop us in our track. We're going to push on and push through so that we can endure until the end. You remember the pithy little saying from the movie, I think it was the best gold marigold. I can't remember the exact name, but the pithy saying you'll remember. And it says that everything will be all right in the end. And if it's not all right, it's not the end. And I love that. Because even in my situation or circumstance or in your situations, when things don't look like they're going well or feeling good, it's not the end. It's just a momentary experience, a momentary circumstance, but it's not the end. So we keep on keeping on. We keep pushing through. There's a wonderful, there's a couple of African-American gospel songs. And one of them says, I must run on to see what the end will be. And there's another one that says, I believe I'll run on. You know, I want to run on. I'm going to keep on going to see what the end will be. And so we're talking about my commitment, your commitment to continue to move and to thrive, right? And to persevere. This is about persevering in your faith. Persevering in your understanding of the truth, to keep on keeping on, to continue on your spiritual journey, to witness this ultimate victory that you will have, this overcoming power. See, endurance means you keep going. You overcome the obstacles, the limitations, and you keep moving forward. I asked Gemini, I use this AI like a chat GPT, and it's called Gemini, and I was asking Gemini, to tell me what the deeper meaning of I wanted to know what the deeper meaning of endurance was. And this is what it said to me. It says, endurance is often mistaken for simple toughness, the ability to take a hit. But in a deeper sense, it isn't just a physical capacity. It is a profound psychological and spiritual orientation toward time and suffering. While resilience is about bouncing back, endurance is about staying under, staying with, maintaining your integrity while the weight is still on you. So even if things get tough and it's heavy, but the endurance is this staying power and maintaining your integrity while the weight is still on you. And what's the integrity that we're trying to maintain is the truth. Our truth principles, spiritual principles, that which we know will set us free and lift us up. Then it says, at its core, endurance is the ability to transform pain into process. I love that. At its core, endurance is the ability to transform pain into process, which means we're not going to get out of this life experience without having some pain. And even as we're trying to endure and we have to come, you know, we're working with pain or challenges. It is the ability to turn that pain into process, not to focus in on, okay, I'm hurting, so I'm going to quit. This is not good. Don't focus on the pain. Transcend the pain. And when you begin to figure out how to transcend the pain, you will move into process and move beyond the pain. This is one of the techniques I learned when I used to go to India. And they would say, stay with the what is. Stay with that pain. If the pain is there, feel it and stay present. Because it was the staying with the what is that helped you to transcend the what is, to move beyond that. So you could focus on the pain to such a degree that the pain disappeared into process. So when you endure, you stop asking, when will this end? Now, I don't know if you're about me, but I'm like, with the situation we're in, when will this end, Lord? But that's not the question, because that keeps us stuck. So it says, when you endure, you stop asking, when will this end? And start asking, what is this requiring of me right now? See, that's getting into process. When will this end? Gets me into hopelessness and waiting. Oh, but when I say, what is this requiring of me right now? It shifts your focus from the finish line to the immediate step. See, we're so busy. I want to get to the finish line that we're not paying attention to the step that's needed right here. Focus on what is the step I need to take? What is the process I need to be? What's the action I need to be? What do I need to do right now? You're going to get to the end, but you can only get there by taking care of this immediate step, being fully present. God, help me in this moment. I know that you are ordering my steps. Give me the strength to move and take this next step. That's what's most important. Because when you ask the question, what is this requiring of me right now? It shifts your focus from the finish line to the immediate step. This prevents hope fatigue, where the soul becomes exhausted by unmet expectations of a quick resolution. Now, I know, you know, if you're anything like me, I like quick resolutions, but some things take time. Some things are not going to be resolved in an instant. I'm not saying that it can't, because God is able to do all things. But when we stay present to what do I need to do and be about in this moment, God is present in this moment. God is here now. Give me the strength now to face whatever it is I need to face, to lift myself so I can take this next step. That is it. So we want to make sure that it says endurance is an active choice to remain standing, even if you cannot move forward yet. I love that. Okay, things are happening. I feel blocked, but I'm going to remain standing. Here I stand. I'm enduring until I have the strength to move forward, until God moves me forward. It is the stillness of a marathoner whose legs are moving, but whose mind is calm and fixed. right? And so this is what we want to do. It says the version of yourself that only exists on the other side of a long struggle. This is the refinement of identity that endurance can give you. With endurance, there's a version of yourself that only exists on the other side of a long struggle. Someone said, on the other side of your fear, oh, is your life, is your faith, is your joy, but it's on the other side. So we've got to move through these things. And so as we move through them, we get to the other side. All right. And so it says deep endurance acts like a kiln. It burns away the superficial parts of your ego, the parts that rely on easy wins and external praise. You discover what remains when you are stripped of comfort. And what remains is your true self, your divine self, your Christ self. You see, even on the cross, when Jesus was stripping away the ego consciousness, what came forth and remained was that resurrected consciousness of the Christ, that strength to endure and to overcome and to move into a new expression and a new life. So, you know, I like this insight. It says, endurance proves to you that your limit was actually just a landmark you passed miles ago. That's it. We want to keep on focusing on our journey. We want to keep on keeping on. God is the one who really is guiding the reins of our lives. And when we turn to God, and when we turn within and tap into our inner power of strength, our inner ability to have endurance. We tap into our faith, the faith that keeps moving us through the things that we cannot see and the challenges and the circumstances. But we have a commitment. Remember our commitment that we talked about last week. Be committed to endure until the end. And we don't know when that will be. But we trust the process. We move with God every step of the way. And this is it. So the title, you know, are you fast? We want to be fast. We want to move through these circumstances, but we also want to have endurance. And your faith in God gives you the endurance to move through any situation or any circumstance. So let's just give thanks. We give thanks to God that we can be swift, but we also can endure. And so, beloved ones, I hope you continue the journey, knowing and trusting and having faith that God will see you through. That's what I'm working on. And I hope to see you on the path of life, on the trail of life, because I'm going to try to move on and keep on keeping on. Blessings and namaste.